So today we'll continue the talk, four two entrances and four practices.
本来照今天的进度哈，是要讲日常生活的修行呢，可是大概讲不到，可以今天可以讲到师父提到怎么样退魔的方法，我就已经很开心了。
So originally, as planned, I would talk about how to apply these principles in our daily life. But given the time limit, probably we will only have time to talk about Shifu's article that how to deal with demonic states.
那我们先把第四个乘法行照他的文献里面把它跟大家解释一下。
First, we will pick up where we left last talk. We will talk about the last practice, the union with all phenomena.
那这边性境啊，那个性字啊，就是我们讲的空性的空。
So first, in the text, it talks about the emptiness.
所以我们的本心，我们的本性啊，不但要有空，就是空性，还要有净，净就是清净的净。
So our self nature, our true nature, is not only empty, but also pure.
那什么叫清净呢？就是心里面没有贪嗔痴邪见。
So what does it mean being pure? It means our mind doesn't have greed, hatred, ignorance, doubts, or evil views.
那在修行的当中，我们常常会有一些加行啊，像持戒啊，还念佛啊，拜佛这些事情上面，做这些事情，最后这些都是事项哈。最后要从你持戒到没有戒相可以得修行，没有所谓国行法师最喜欢讲的能跟所可以修，那还有功德也没有所谓的功德，就是无相功德。
But when we start practice, we start with things like keeping precepts, follow all the instructions and giving and all like that. So you actually are doing something. There's a phenomenon to hold on to. But that's just the beginning. Eventually, we will reach to the point that there's really no precepts to keep and there's no person to do the giving. It's all not, the phenomenon does not exist anymore or you do not attach to the phenomenon of the practice anymore.
这个就从事到理，这个就叫无为法。
That's you are transcending from attaching to phenomenon, such a phenomenon of practice, to there's no such phenomenon called practice. This transition is called from attaching to phenomenon to eventually reach the pure truth.
所以呢，我们明白这个理跟体啊，是佛教最高的道理，也是真正的法。
So if you can understand the relationship between doing all the things in the phenomenal world, but at the same time understand the emptiness of that nature, if you can understand that the relationship between the two, you really understand the big truth or your true mind.
那上堂课结束的时候有菩萨问呢，既然无所求嘛哈，是不是我们写牌位就不用写了？
So the ultimate truth is non-seeking and non-doing. So and after I talked about that, someone came to me asked, well, since you said non-seeking or non-doing, does that mean I don't need to do anything, not even to make offerings anymore?
这个就是从事到理啊，我们比较能够着手的是事项上，所以我们不知道怎么样跟 有些菩萨他已经往生了，我们用往生的来怎么跟他祝福或者是回向，所以排位这个是一种很容易做得到的事情。
So that person's question has something to do with how to understand, you know, what we need to do in the phenomenal world and what the ultimate truth is. So for people who already passed away, making offerings and, you know, do chanting for them is a way to send our blessings.
我不知道大家有没有经验，假如说是你跟你的小孩，假如说你们两个有争执的时候，那你们的争执可以化解，是不是有一方的心平静，或有一方有个祝福的心，那他们的僵局就容易打破。
I don't know if you have such experience when you get into a fight with your children, and eventually how do you resolve it? Probably one party will come down first and will change the arguing mind and calm down the mind first, then you can come to a resolution.
所以这个也就是说我们找手处啊，假如是大修行人，他可能都不需要写牌位，不需要这个，他的祝福就他的那个能量就已经很够，可是我们一般的人啊，还是想要有个借由某种媒体让现在活的人或过去已经往生的人有一些联系吧，把我们那个回向可以转给他们。
So even though for big practitioner, they probably, for great practitioner, they probably don't need to do anything like make offerings or chanting for people passed away, but that's for great practitioner, for very advanced level. As beginner like us, we still need something to hold on to, still need something, some sort of practice to hold on to and to dwell our mind in. We need a starting point.That's what we're doing. That's why we still do the chanting and transfer the merits to people, you know, we wish send to blessing to.
十名菩萨啊，今天就问我，因为国觉法师过世了嘛，哈，那他就问了我们僧团是不是有好几位法师，有这种，就是很早过世。我说对，没有错，大概有三位到四位。那说这样比例是不是很高？不是我们出家应该修行来讲应该比较好一点吧？那有这个现象会不会让人家误解，说修行好像有一点点无用论，是不是
？So this morning I asked a question to 法师as
everyone,
translator. As everyone knows, heard the sad news that Master Guojie passed away.Yesterday. So I asked the question, I said, how many Fashi have passed away since Shifu passed? How many passed in total in the Dharma Drum Mountain Sangha group? And so Guoshen Fashi answered, said, there's already probably three or four monastics have already passed away.Then I asked, well, given the total number of Sangha, is that a little bit too high? They all died at a young age, relatively young age. And
less 50 years old.
Yeah, probably 50 years old. In their 30s and in 40s, they passed away and all died of cancer. So I said it's a relatively high number. Would that, how does that translate to the outside world? Would people view it as strange? Because many people came to practice hoping that they could get longevity or get blessings. Not everyone truly understand the right view. So would that send a misleading message to the outside world? Would that discourage people to come to practice? Because it doesn't seemingly bring you longevity or good life.
是不是你的问题？OK 我没有误会哈。我的回答是这样，第一个呢，也让大家知道，就是一个修行的人哈，他也不一定在临终的时候他一定是瑞相，因为 假如我们相信人有轮回的话，我们是以前不知道造的什么，至少我们现在结的果跟因缘配合，我们跟这一世的关系就到这边，暂时啊，除非他发愿再回来。所以在最后一刹那的时候，你就看这个修行人，可是那个都是内心的事情，你看不到，可至少我们可以感觉得到国界法师他走的时候，他面对他的死亡，这点对我们来讲应该是，假如说可以有一个启示啊，就是修行还是有作用的。
So, Fashi's answer is, although it's pretty cruel, because it's not necessary that if you practice, even become monastic, when you're dying, you will definitely have good signs or die pleasantly. That's not necessarily the case. But the truth is, if you truly believe or truly understand cause and effect in the reincarnation, you would view this lifetime in a longer perspective, put into the whole picture, and you can still see the effects of practice in this lifetime. So even though, Guo Jianfashi passed away, but when she learned the news, when she learned that she had terminal illness, she chose to face the illness. And although we were not her, so we couldn't really know her state of mind at that moment, but we still saw how she dealt with her illness. She was very calm and chose to face it. So you can still see, even as outside, you can still see the effect of practice in this lifetime.
所以也是让我们知道，我们要结好的果，我们现在要怎么样？多修行，跟大家结善缘，做善事。这样的话，至少我们知道以后的果，大概坏的果会比较少，好的果会比较多。
So it's important. So, the lesson is it's important for us to know that we should keep doing what we are supposed to do good deeds, to practice according to the right view. Even though we may not have a control about the fruits, but if we believe cause and effect, we know we plant good seeds, eventually we will receive the good results, no matter whether it's in this lifetime or in many lifetimes after, but we should do more.
那第三行跟第四行啊，就是要把我们现在种好的因结好的果，这样的心态都要除掉。
And the ultimate practice, we should really let go the discriminating mind of having good results or bad results. We have to let it go.
就是中国人有一句俗语，只问耕耘不问收获的那个心态。
So that's the attitude of what we often say as you only keep planting seeds, but you don't ask for results. You just keep doing it.
OK, 我们再继续这篇文献啊。那他第二行啊，看第二行这边啊，就是所有的我们讲的涅槃心无为法啊，什么人我是非魔佛魔凡夫圣人啊，在这个时候呢都安不上，安不上的意思就是都是空性的哈，所有的一切名相形象，这个地方都是空性的，都是化为空有的。
So we will continue the text. The text mentioned here, so all phenomenon we do not label with anything. In nature, they're all empty. We do not associate with any names or labels.
那也染不上。下一个哈，无染无浊，就是没有所谓我们的二分法。二分法就是黑白有无这种，就是都没有这种二分法。也就是有二分法就有生灭法，就是都没有，也不着相，也没有 比就是有你我这些现象。
And furthermore, there's no duality. There's no you or I. There's no pure or impure. There's no discrimination. There's no duality.
也就是没有大，没有小，没有善，没有恶，没有染，没有净，没有一点点形在的存相存在。
And the state of mind does not have the concept of big or small or good or bad or pure or impure. There's not even a little concept of phenomenon.
把这样的新的状态用在日常生活上，常常回来检视你的心的时候，这个就叫做称法心。
And if you can apply that state of mind to your daily practice, to your daily life, and often look within, that's what we called the union with a phenomenon.
那我们今天早上我跟石敏也有一段小小的谈话啊。那我是觉得念佛法门很好抓啊，因为就只要心念动就可以了嘛。那他跟我的反应，他说法师，我好像这个法门对于他来讲还是话头比较好。这个是同样的，就是你很多方法是要跟你相应的，那个就你用上手，可是常常要拿起来练习，在平常练习，而不是在打禅精进禅修的时候才用，平常现在就是开始用。
So this morning, Ming here, the translator, had a conversation with Guoshen Fashi. Fashi mentioned it's very chanting Amitabha Buddha's name is a very good method to use. It's very convenient. Once you pick up the chanting, you know your mind will be calmed. But Ming was saying, didn't necessarily work for me because I don't have affiliate with chanting. I feel like it's like relying on outside God or outside Buddha to help me. I don't feel it work for me. So Fashi said, well, you should pick whatever works best for you. And I know, 话头 really works for me. So that just goes to say, even though we all have the same, getting to the same place, there are different methods that you should pick the one that works best for you. But the important thing to remember is you need to practice that method in your daily life to get familiar with it, to make it really work for you during hard times.
那我们再继续这个文献哈，众生呢本来就是空性的，哪里有所谓的众生呢？假如我们有说度众生这么一回事呢，你就是执着于众生，就在你八十田中啊，就有众生相出来。你说我度的众生嘛啊，众生相一出来，这就是有为法，是属于生灭，也属于二分法了。那于性境之理就不相应了。
And the text continues to say, all sentient beings are in nature empty. So there's no sentient beings to be delivered. There are really no sentient beings to be delivered. So if when we say we need to deliver sentient beings, when we say that, when we think about that, there will be a phenomenon, there will be some sort of form appeared in our eighth consciousness, the form of sentient beings. So once you have the form appearing in your mind, you're already in the dual world, which has you and then the sentient beings. So your mind is not really pure anymore because we already attached that duality.
所以性境就是说没有众生，没有一个法存在。
So when we say when we refer to pure state of mind, we are really talking about no sentient being, there's no discrimination, no duality.
所以只要我们有执着众生，有这一念心呢， 这个众生就被污染。他在上面讲的垢啊，这个就是被污染的意思。
So once we give rise to the idea of sentient beings, our minds are already attached to that concept, and our minds are already polluted. It's not pure anymore.
所以那个垢字就是尘垢的垢的意思。
So that the word 垢 in Chinese means filthy, not pure anymore.
所以我们知道一切法是缘起的，都是有空相的。不但是无为法，它是没有我在里头的。有为法就是有为法，它其中也是没有一个我。
And we know all phenomena are conditional arising. They are all in nature empty. So even in the ultimate truth, in the ultimate truth level, there's no self. It's really just a concept. There's no self. Even when we speak in the relatively phenomenal world, there's actually no self too.
我们用身体来讲，我们知道我们身体由四大，就是地、水、火、风四大合啊。只要这四大合，这个就是一个空性，就是一个缘起。
So, for example, look at our own body. We know our body are made of four elements: earth, water, fire, wind. That four elements. The four elements, the existence of four elements are conditional arising. So when, if you lack either of the elements, your body will be gone. So it's not really, you know, exists in its own nature.
我们有身体了，可是因为知道它是缘起性，所以我们称为没有真实的身体。
So even in the phenomenon world, we do appear to have a body, butThat body is conditional arising depending on all four elements are there. So we don't really have a true body or real body. It's there in its own nature.
这个讲起来啊，大家常常听啊，可是就是要慢慢体会啊。这个就是我们讲的要了解理啊。那你要从行开始入，那讲这些就是让我们知道有这些东西，那我们自己怎么往那边走，这样就告诉我们，像大同世界，有个世界在那边，我们就往佛国净土，有个佛国净土往那边走。所以听起来好像很枯燥哈，可事实上那个就有它的道理，要慢慢体会它。
So for people who have beento this transcendental many times, you probably have heard this theory again and again about, you know, the four elements of the body. But this, yes, this is the classic teaching theory. But how you really to get a hold on to it, you need to practice. And you understand that's, you know, that right view and how you can eventually get there, you need to practice to be able to have a deep understanding.
因为没有真实的身体可以得到啊。不止我们的这个身体没有我，其实外面的树也没有我。这就是，所以我们可以说，这个世界上没有任何一个法，一切的法，它只不管有情无情啊，都是缘起。只要缘起，就没有我。
So not only are our bodies not real, do not exist in its own nature, are entirely depending on other elements or conditional arising, but also all phenomena in the world, including sentient beings or non-sentient beings like a tree, environment, the world, they are all conditional arising. Therefore, they are all empty. They are all empty in its nature.
大家都会知道那个有我没有我，这个跟空性并不是说没有实在的东西，而是那个东西会变化，那个叫空性啊。再强调一下。
Right, and we want to reiterate the meaning of emptiness. It's not the nihilism saying there's nothing at all. When we say empty, we are really talking about impermanence that, or conditional arising.
所以无为法其实就是指我们这一颗心它是绝对的不是相对的不是二分法假如有一个我就有能跟所有我有所这个心就成为相对的有了我这样呢你就有一个染着的心这个它是有点连贯在一起的
So when we talk about non-doing, we are not saying we're not saying in an absolute term, or we are just trying to emphasize it's all relative, and we are referring to non-duality. Because once your mind give rise to the concept of the discrimination, then your mind is already polluted, not pure anymore.
那下面这个就变成蛮重要，有智慧的人对这个道理要了解，而且要深。他这边的信是深信，一定是要相信。那把它用在日常生活中，那日常生活中是行住坐卧当中，照着这个的原理去，就是信尽的这个道理。
The next line of the text is very important. It says, people who have great wisdom could truly understand the non-doing, the nature of non-doing, and will give rise to deep faith in it. And furthermore, people will try to apply that understanding to daily lives. So no matter what you're doing, you're sitting, eating, or sleeping, you will, according your daily practice to that theory, that non-doing theory, and learn to observe your own state of mind.
那听起来好像蛮难的哈，所以下面这边他就告诉我们，就修行的那个点要从哪里开始。
So it may sound difficult. So we will talk about how to start somewhere.
要信尽之理，这个地方就没有贪，奸就是小气哈，跟贪还什么东西你喜欢的，你还要再更多那个叫贪啊，奸就是你有的你舍不得给人家，叫那个叫奸哈。For
example. We could observe our state of mind. Are we greedy? Are we not wanting to share good things with others?
那你的生命、你的身体、你的财产都能够给人家，都给人家的时候，你就不会觉得舍不得。所以从这一点可以看出来，要从哪里开始，就从布施，我们所谓的六度。
For example, you could observe, are you holding on to material things in your life? Do you feel comfortable to give away your wealth, even your life? And talking about this, we understand this is really talking about the practice of giving.
我们都知道，我们有六度嘛，六度大家都知道：布施、布施、持戒、忍辱、精进、禅定、对般若。哎，这六度叫做六度檀那哈，就是六度波罗蜜。 那其中的布施叫唐那波罗蜜，叫布施波罗蜜。We
all heard the six paramitas. Giving is the first of it. So we have six paramitas are giving, precepts, tolerance, diligence, samadhi, and wisdom.
那布施就是要舍除、减贪啊。 刚我讲过，坚跟贪是不一样的哈，一个你有，一个是没有的哈，还要更，或者你有，你还要更多。
So the first one is to let go your greedy state of mind, and also get rid of the mind of wanting more.
那我们也知道布施里面有财布施、法布施、无畏布施。
And in terms of giving, we all know there are three kinds of giving. It's giving your money, giving away your money, or giving away your time if you can help. And the last two category is to give others comfort when they are in when their mind are not stable or in danger.
为什么？有了财施、法施跟无畏布施呢，我们心中的坚贪就能够施舍掉呢。我们其实这个也就是一种你正之间要建立起来的哈，就是我们的身体、我们的财产没有一个地方可以爱惜的。人就是我们的身跟心都放不下，很爱惜这个身体，所以就有执着、有坚贪，这个与信尽之力就不相应。所以要使信尽之力时时刻刻能够呈现出来呢，就要训练自己、磨练自己，从财布施去做，从财布施因为比较容易做，从财布施开始做，在法布施，然后在无畏布施，最后连生命就也布施出去。这样的话，我们坚贪才是真正的能够舍掉。
So why do we need to practice giving, and how does it help with let go the state of mind of greed and wanting more, or not wanting to share with others? Well, because it's our body or our material wealth is not really worth holding on to them, because if you have the right view, you will understand when you hold on to your body or your material wealth, you will give rise to attachment to the greed state of mind or not wanting to share with others. That is not in accordance with the ultimate truth of that pure state of mind. That's why we need to start practicing giving and first start with giving away your material wealth, and then furthermore you could try to give your time, to give your you know, labor, give help to others, and eventually you could even, you know, in the very advanced level, you will give away your life.
大家都知道舍利佛的修行很好嘛哈，他就是有一天他发了个心，他要行菩萨道，那他就要去度众生了。那他心里一起心动念的时候呢，魔王他就知道了，他就开始就说来测试舍利佛到底有多行哈。所以呢，他就变成一个小孩子在舍利佛前面哭哭啼啼的。那舍利佛就说，哎，他要开始度众生嘛，他就问那个小孩子，你到底在哭什么？他说，小孩子就说，这个问题你不会解决的，因为我要一个真正发心的人啊，才能够解决他的苦。那舍利佛说，诶，他发了菩提心嘛，他够资格了，他说我可以帮助你。那小朋友就跟他讲说，好好好，我母亲呢现在需要一个发菩提心的人给他眼睛，因为他那个病只有发菩提心的人的眼睛可以。那舍利佛说没有问题，他就赶快把眼睛摘下来给他。
So, everyone must have heard Shariputra Bodhisattva. He's pretty famous. And when he was practicing, giving, and he gave rise to the mind of delivery or sentient beings, and he gave rise to the Bodhi mind. And the moment he gave rise to the Bodhi mind, the demon king, came to him and appeared as a child, crying in front of him. So Shariputra asked the child, why are you crying? And the child said, well, don't ask me, because my problem, you won't be able to help with my problem, because only someone who truly gives rise to Bodhi mind can help me. can help my problem. Then Sharaputra said, well, this is a great opportunity to practice my bodhisattva path. So he gladly said to the child cell, well, just go ahead, tell me what your problems are, because I already give rise to the bodhi mind, and I understand sentient beings' sufferings. I'm happy to deliver sentient beings and to help with their sufferings. Then the child said, okay, my mom has some disease with her eyes, so she went blind. And the doctor said, if I can find two practitioner who has already given rise to the bodhi mind, and that person is willing to give up their eyes, then the doctor can heal my mom's blindness.
对他的妈妈两个眼睛都瞎，医生的处方就说要菩提心的，所以舍利佛呢就把他摘了一个眼睛给他。那小孩子就说：“哎，不对不对，我妈妈要右眼的，你给我的哈是左眼，这不行。”这样，嗯哼。
So okay, Sharaputra said no problem. You know, since I'm a practitioner who already gives rise to the bodhi mind, I can give away my eye. So he took the right eye off and give to the child. And child took over and looked at it and said, no, that's a wrong eye. What my mom really needs is the left eye, not the right eye.
那舍利弗还很大方，他说没有关系，那我就是摘左眼给他好了。
So Sariputra was very generous, and he said, okay, no problem, I'll give you the left eye as well.
那个小孩子一看左眼，一闻什么那么腥臭，他说你一定没有发菩提心，就往地上一丢。
So the child took over the other eye and smelled it, said, well, it really stinks. It's probably not the eye from a true practitioner who has given rise to the bodhi mind.
那舍利弗就说，我都把两个眼睛给你了，你还这个样子。他说发菩提真不容易，所以他不发菩提心了。
So Sariputra said, well, I have already given you both my eyes, and you're still saying my eyes are stinks. You're still saying my eyes stink. It's really hard to deliver sentient beings.
他说我还是做那个阿罗汉好了。
Yeah, maybe I'll just give up this bodhisattva path and go back to be an arhat.
后来你舍利弗的两只眼睛好了没有？那个魔王知道他又回到小圣的心态嘛，哈，就又把两个眼睛还给他了。
So can you guess the end of the story? Did the Sariputra get back both of his eyes?
这个故事最重要就是说心无吝惜啊，吝啬的那个吝惜啊，就是你只要心念一动的时候，心念很快嘛，那你菩提心一下就没有了。虽然你眼睛啊那个都受了皮肉苦，可是还是一样的。
Yes, of course he got his eyes back because the moment he gave rise to the state of mind of a small vehicle practitioner, his bodhi mind will be away, will not be there. So at that time, the child, which we all know is the demonic king, said, okay, I'll give back your eyes because your bodhi mind is already gone.
所以我们把生命、把财产通通舍光，但是我们的恭敬心、慈悲心、诚恳的心啊，以外别无所求啊，才算是清净的布施，也就是布施成就了。
So only when we try to practice give away everything we hold on to, and nothing left except for your compassion mind. In compassion mind, your sincere mind, and your mind of respecting others. Only when you give away everything except for those, then that's what we can say you're have a pure mind and you're practicing the pure giving.
那这边下一个就是 脱解三空，就其实是讲的三轮体空啊。
The next one, the text is talking about the emptiness of three wheels.
所以布施啊，要你除了要舍舍舍，可是你要对佛法的这个三轮体空要真正的认得，要不然的话呢，你以为该要的善的法也要一起舍掉，事实上不是的。佛法里面有讲事跟理的，由事变为理，有过程的。
So when we talk about giving, it's important to reiterate what we talked earlier in this talk about the relationship between doing good things in a phenomenal world and ultimately reaching the ultimate truth. So if you don't understand the theory correctly, you probably say, well, okay, since it's non-doing, non-seeking, why do we still need to practice all these good deeds? But it's still important to practice all these good deeds because it's a process from doing good things, eventually reaching the ultimate truth of non-doing. So that's the same theory applies to giving as well.
所以我们用布施来讲，它的三轮体空就是布施的人算一个轮，那布施的财物算另外一个轮，还有布施的对象算另外一个轮，所以有三个轮。这三个轮都是缘起性空的，因此没有真正的能跟真正的所跟布施的东西。知道这个道理的话呢，布施就是真正的舍了哈。
So when you practice giving, it's important to understand what the emptiness of three wheels means. So the three wheels refers, the first wheel refers to the person who is doing the giving, and the second wheel is referring to the things, the material things or whatever that you're giving away, and the last wheel refers to the person or the object who is receiving the giving. So that adds up to three wheels, and all three wheels are conditional arising, and they are empty. There's really no one to give. There's no such thing as being given away, and the object is empty as well.
这时候大家可能会要问呢，那到底修布施和不修布施有没有一样？就刚刚讲的，到底写牌位，到底要不要写牌位的道理是一样哈。因为真正的一个修行菩萨道的菩萨啊，他不只要了解三轮体空的道理，要了解性净的道理，更要修一切的善法。
So, at this point, someone may ask me, well, since you say everything is empty, do I still need to practice giving? What does it really do to help? Well, this goes back to what we talked earlier when we say whether you should chanting, transfer merits to people who passed away. Yes, because even though we understand the nature of the emptiness of three wheels, we still need to practice all these good deeds, practice all good deeds, and at the same time, do not attach to what you just did, what you just do, and just keep practicing.
那我们刚刚讲六度嘛，这个是其中的一项，那其他的持戒、忍辱、精进、禅定也都是用同样的方法。
So giving is just one of the six parameters theory, but the same mindset, the same attitude applies to the rest of five parameters.
那大家会觉得为什么没有般若呢？因为般若是智慧的哈，不是你修可以来的，就是因缘和合才会呈现的啊。那可以累积，那前面的这五项呢，那可以慢慢修，是一个法门啊。
Sorry, I had one correction. So the same attitude will apply to the rest of four paramita, because the last six paramita is wisdom. You can't really practice to practice wisdom or get wisdom. Wisdom is something you do the first five, and eventually you will reach that state of mind.
所以这些法门刚刚讲的前面五度啊，是要不执着依止这些法门，那自然那个真正的般若就会呈现啊。
So if you can practice, keep practicing the first five paramitas, keeping precepts, tolerance, diligence, and samadhi, you will eventually reach the last one, which is wisdom.
啊，我们在下一行啊，就是你在检讨。反省就是所谓我们的忏悔的过程中啊，你心就慢慢就会清净了。有了清净的心啊，自然就与法是相应。那你心中就不会有贪嗔痴，就没有尘垢了。
So we continue the next line. If you often look within and repent what is not pure.Then you will naturally have a pure state of mind, and your state of mind is in accordance with the Dharma, and there will be no three poisons such as greed, hatred, and ignorance, and then your mind is purified.
我们初初修布施的时候呢，是有求的哈，为了要去掉贪嗔呢，希望得到福报。那越来越了解佛法的以后呢，我们知道要三轮体空的道理嘛，我们知道布施的功德也不需要执着哈，就明白布施的人呢、啊，跟财对象都缘起性空的这个道理，就是三轮体空的道理以后，我们更清楚的知道修行的方向在哪里。
So, when we start practicing giving,We must have something in mind. We ask for blessings. That's as beginner, we will think like that. But the more, but with deepening your practice, you will starting not to attach to the virtues and the results of your giving, because you understand the emptiness of three wheels. You understand everything are conditional arising. They are not so real, as we see.And you will get a clear understanding about the direction of your practice.
那有我及我所的执着，这些都是尘垢。
So when you have when you give rise to the concept of I or what I attach to, then that's what we say.Defilements.
因为尘垢啊，让我们这个清净心没有办法呈现出来。度化众生，观察众生的根基啊，众生是什么根基，就要用什么法门去度化。度化以后呢，如果想说哦，我度化了多少众生，我用了某某的法门呢、啊，这个功德非常的大的心理，这个就怎么样？就是取相了，一取相就变成福德了。我种了很多的福了，可是我一取相的时候，这样一取相有福德又有功德的话呢，就是一个尘垢哈。不取相就会有福德又有功德，这才叫真正的功德。所以重点是不要取相。
So defilements will cover up.Your pure mind and make the pure mind cannot appear in front of you. For example, if you know we try to do a lot of things to help deliver sentient beings, but if we think to ourselves with pride and even arrogance, saying, "Look, how many sentient beings I have delivered, and I must have accumulated a lot of virtues and blessings." If you think like that.And then that state of mind is what we say defilement. And only when you can give up that type of state of mind, that attitude, then that is the real virtue, the real blessing.
那下一行啊， 就是我们用还是用布施这个法门来说哈，我们修了布施以后，除了我们自己不会兼贪嗔恚，还有多多少少业障也会消嘛哈。人家因为我们去财布施、法布施，别人在或无畏布施，别人多多少少也会受到帮忙啊。对方跟自己精神上都可以消除一些烦恼，所以它是一个自利利他的一个法门。那菩萨道就是自利利他的法门，你对别人完全顾到别人，不管自己，这个法门不持久的。完全顾到自己，不顾到别人，那根本不叫做菩萨道。
So we will continue use giving as example of, to illustrate how to practice. For example, we practice giving, and then we can reduce our state of mind of greed and not wanting to share good things with others. So by doing that, we are reducing our karmic obstructions. And at the same time, at the same time, because we practice giving, other sentient beings are able to get some help, either material or mentally, they could get some help, and our giving, our practice of giving could help them to release some vexations, to lessen some sufferings. So the practice of giving is beneficial to both ourselves and to others at the same time. So that's what we say the practice of, you know, the Bodhi path. Because if you just practice something that is beneficial to others but are not beneficial to yourself, it won't last for a long time. But if you're practicing something that's only good for yourself but not good for others, that's not Bodhisattva path at all.
所以庄严菩提是慈悲，所谓慈悲哈，就是福德哈，跟智慧两个都是顾到的。那在这边呢，我们用修布施来讲，我们不只要布施，还要知道三轮体空的道理，知道所有的法都是空寂的啊，所以人不可以得，财也不可以得的道理，这才叫做庄严菩提。修善法是福德，是慈悲啊。修了善法，不执着，这个善法就是智慧。所以刚刚讲到的那个智慧啊，就是要由布施，就是这个法门开始着。你从那边下手处，可是要不执着，那个智慧就般若就产生出来了。
So, no matter what we practice, we have to remember, to have the state of mind of compassion and wisdom at the same time. To remember, you know, those are two things need to be in balance. For example, when you practice giving, you understand the emptiness of three wheels. And that's wisdom, because you understand everything is conditional arising. There's nothing so real as you feel. You cannot attain the material wealth. You cannot attain other people. There's really nothing to attain. And when you practice all these good deeds of giving, but at the same time, you also understand the emptiness, the nature of everything. You do not attach to anything, not even attached to the good deeds itself. Then that's a wisdom. And when you can practice compassion and wisdom at the same time, that's what we said is you're really on the Bodhi path.
好，下面一行他就说，我们修布施波罗蜜嘛，另外还有我们总共有六度，对不对？另外一个除了布施加四度的话，他的那个方式那个法门就跟修布施一样。那前面的五度属于福德的，属于禅定的，最后一个般若波罗蜜是属于解脱跟智慧的。
So,
但是六个波罗蜜的每一度都要具备般若波罗蜜，就是前面的五个一定要配合般若波罗蜜，因为 波罗波罗蜜，就是无能无所，就是缘起，就是性空，就是你做前面的五个，可是要配合这个不执着这个波若的，这样你的波若的才会产生。
So, going back to the six paraparamitas, we know there are six paraparamitas, six aspects. So first is giving, which we just used as an example, but the rest is keeping precepts, tolerance, diligence, samadhi, and the last one is the wisdom. So when we practice the first five paramitas, we need to always keep in mind with the last paramita, which is the wisdom element. So when we practice the first five, we should always go with the last element, which is wisdom, which further can be explained as the emptiness and non-doing, non-attachment. Because only when you practice the first five with the last one, you can truly not attach to the virtues that you accumulate by practicing all these paramitas.
那持戒要跟大家解再提醒一下啊，因为我们常常会把持戒这个标准呢弄有一点点模糊哈。持戒它是要自我约束、反省、自我提升呢，要去除自己的习气、我慢就跟无明呢，用戒要时时来刻刻来反省我们自己的心啊，让心清净，心清净了就不会执着这个戒字，主要要跟般若相应，就是你守戒可是你又要不执着戒，持戒的不目的不是拿戒去衡量称量别人，这个很重要的，那就是违反戒的定义。因为常常我们来这边啊，人家都会用戒条，不是比自己，都是比别人，所以我在这边特别跟大家再做一个提醒啊，因为今天没有时间讲日用二入四行的日用，我就是带一点在这边。
So I want to say a few words about keeping precepts. So precepts are there to help our own practice to use as a benchmark to look within and compare to see where our state minds are and how to get rid of our habitual tendency and get rid of the arrogance and ignorance of our own state of mind. So you should use precepts to look within your own mind, try to purify your own mind, but at the same time, you shouldn't really attach to the precepts. But I want to emphasize just once again, precepts are not used to measure others' practice. Because if you do that, and if you use precepts to judge other people, that is against the original purpose of precepts.
所以呢，六度呢，它还可以除我们的妄想。我们常常一坐下来的时候，人我是非，那个想东想西啊，患得患失，想这个人怎么样对我这样。所以呢，其实六度的法门也可以除妄想。
And six paraparamitas can also help reduce wandering thoughts. Because for a lot of people, when you sit and meditate, there are a lot of wandering thoughts come up.
那最重要，这个六度怎么跟乘法行算是可以修成乘法行，叫无所行，就是要不执着。你修了六度的波罗波罗蜜，可是你要不执着六度，为什么？
So what's the relationship with the six paraparamitas and the last practice union with all phenomenon of this two entrance and the four practices? So the relationship is we need to practice all six paramitas, but at the same time, we do not attach to the practice itself, themselves.
那为什么要不执着呢？假如我们在修六波罗蜜的时候， 我们就起了那个慢心，说你看我都在修六波罗蜜，你都没有，你不如我。那就是有人我众生受者四相通通都有，只有那一念呢，所有的四相全部呈现。
So why do we say you should practice six paramitas without attachment? Because once you practice diligently, you have attachments and give rise to just one thought of arrogance saying, look how wonderful, how great I am because I'm practicing six paramitas, but you're not. If you give rise just to one thought of arrogance, you immediately create the duality of you, I, the rest of the world, sentient beings, and your mind is not pure anymore.
所以这四项一升起来的时候，我们日常的修行就处处都会有障碍。
So once you even have that one thought, you're creating obstructions for yourself.
所以修行要从这一念开始去修。不能够因为这一念你就是要逃它，你就不去面对你这一念。
So practice, real practice starts with that one thought and you have to face that thought and deal with it.
所以我们为什么要行菩提道呢？主要就是说我们在照顾众生的时候其实就在提升自己，你在利益他人当中其实就在自利，自利当中又能够利他，用这种方法来训练自己，磨练自己，其实就是成就自己。
So why do we practice bodhisattva path? Because when we are doing great things, good deeds to benefit others, we are benefiting ourselves at the same time. And using that methodNot only we helped others, but also helped ourselves. And we keep practicing. That's the way to go on the bodhisattva path.
这个就叫真正的般若，真正的乘法行。
That is what we call the real wisdom paramita, and the true practice of the last one, which is called the union with phenomenon.
那因为只剩半个钟头，代表我只有15分钟可以跟大家介绍。那师父的怎么样退魔的方法啊，中文可以看得懂，中文的菩萨可以拈花微笑那本书里头都有讲啊。那可是西方众没有翻译啊，我把一个大概跟大家介绍一下。
Because there's not enough time left, I probably can't go over all I prepared in terms of how to deal with demonic states. There's a book written by Shifu in Chinese, which is called Holding Flowers and a Smile. Unfortunately, there's no English version. So I'm going to briefly talk about what's in there.
所谓魔障啊，就是妨碍你修行的。不管是好的境界不好的境界，只要妨害你的就是叫魔障。
So that chapter written by Shifu deals with obstructions of demonic states. So what do we mean by obstructions of demonic states? Anything that obstruct you, create difficulties for your practice is called obstructions of demonic states.
魔障跟魔境有一点点不一样哈。魔境呢就有分内魔跟外魔。
So there's a slight difference between obstructions created by the demonic states and the situations of demonic states. There are two types of demonic states. One is within the inside demons, inside demonic states, andthe other one is outside demons, outside demonic states.
那内魔主要是讲你自己的心啊。
So when we say inside demons, we're talking about your own state of mind.
那你会发魔，就是魔境会产生的原因，主要是你自己 在修学打坐的时候夹杂一些不清净的念头，就很容易发魔。
So when you trick demonic states, we say that's because when you sit and meditate, you have some impure thoughts.
那你有心魔的时候，跟外魔就容易相应。
Once you give rise to inside demonic states, it's easy to attract the outside demons.
所以呢，要不发魔，就是心里要有正知见。
So the right way to avoid attracting demons is to have the right view.
那从楞严经摩诃止观小止观里头都有很多介绍魔境的地方。
So in Sharagama Sutra, great calming and contemplation sutra, in the Vipassana for beginners, all these classic texts, they talk about a lot of demonic states in details.
他在经里面都有讲，内心有魔，心外也有魔，外魔是由内魔引发，而内魔主要是指我们的贪嗔痴三种烦恼。
So all these sutra and the classic texts talk about there are demonic states inside and there are demonic states outside, and the outside demons are tricked by your inside demons, and the inside demons are mainly consist of greed, hatred, and ignorance of that three heavy vexations.
那师父提到如何用二入四行四个行来对治这些魔境。
So in Shifu's book, he mentioned how to use the two entrances, the four practices to deal with demonic states.
师父提到啊，就是面对任何的逆境呢，不论是恶意的打击、无理的要求、种种的困扰，都要把它当作是自己的果报，应该毫无缘由的接受下来。
So Shifu mentioned, when you face hardship, difficulties, or all kinds of demanding from others, you shouldn't complain. You should just view them as your karmic retributions and accept without complainments.
那师父提到抱怨行呢，可以退除心魔跟环境魔，环境魔也是外魔的一种。
So Shifu mentioned use the practice from the four practice, which is accept karmic retributions. You could effectively reduce your inside demonic states and the demonic states in the outside environment.
师父举一个例子，他有一天在文化馆休息的时候，那楼上就在法器练习嘛，乒乒乓乓的。好像敲到他头上，他说怎么办呢？他就用抱怨行来修，他就是不去想他，而且接受他，就是那个是事实的存在。那这样想的时候，他就不会影响到他了。
So Shifu gave an example in the book. One day he was trying to rest or taking nap, he heard noise from the above floor where people were practicing the Buddhist instruments. And even though he heard the noise, once he decided not to be bothered by such noise, he could continue his rest without being bothered.
那师父对随缘行呢的意思就是说，因缘和合的时候呢，是因缘促成的，一切法都是虚妄的，都不是真实的。当有好的果报呢，就不要欢喜的迷失了你自己的本心啊。
And when Shifu talk about the second practice, adapting to conditions, he emphasized that the understanding of causes and conditions and understand all good things that happen to you are based on just the right conditions. So there's really nothing to be overjoyed or, you know, go beyond yourself.
说假如你有好的境界，在打坐有好的境界的时候，容易起慢心，这时候需要名师指导。可是假如你的因缘没有碰到名师的话，怎么办？就要有正知见，很重要，可以让你度过这个慢的那个心。因为打坐好的话，你会觉得你自己好有修行，你比人要行。所以可是呢，你没有名师，可你有正知见呢，你是在过程中会比较辛苦，可是你不会入病魔，不会魔病啊，不是病魔，是魔病。
So, Shifu mentioned in his book, especially when you practice meditation, and when you achieve certain good results, it's very easy to give rise to the arrogant state of mind because you think,you're something, you're better than others. And at that point, you need guidance from a really good teacher. But if you can't get the guidance from a good teacher, then you need really, it's really important to have the right views. And if you can't get right view, it's very easy to develop certain sickness of the demonic states.
所以随缘行呢要一个很重要一个观念，就是一切法就是空性，只要你具备这个正知见呢、啊，所以任何的结果都不值得你那么欢喜。
So the second practice, adapting to conditions, is very important. If you can understand all good results are there because of the right conditions, you wouldn't, you know, be carried away and overjoyed by it.
师父这边用的，我觉得蛮有意思哈、啊。他是说所有相皆是虚妄，时时提起这个正念就是正知见哈，魔蔽落荒而逃。你看他们都跑走了哈。
So, Shifu said, it's important to pick up that state of mind that really, really remember, keep in mind all phenomenon are empty and illusionary in its own nature.And if you can do that, all demons will be running away.
师父对无所求行呢，他用一个例子哈，他说在有一次打禅期的时候，那个禅众呢老是看前面那个人背上啊有男女很亲热的搂在一起，他想尽办法要把这个影像除掉呢，他越想除掉他越缠他缠得紧。所以他内境跟外缘就纠缠在一起，没有办法分开，也那时候他有没有办法修无所求行就没有办法哈啊不乘法行就没有办法修乘法行，师父那时候就叫退而求其次，修无所求行。
So when Shifu talked about the third practice non-seeking, Shifu gave an example. One time, one person was practicing meditation, and he was staring in front of the person in front of him. He felt that was as if there were a couple cuddling with each other, very intimate with each other. That image was showing in that person's back, and he tried really hard to get rid of that image, but you know.The harder he tried, the more image will become very vivid in front of him. He couldn't really get rid of that image.
所以师父，所以这个无所无相无相。
So and at that time, it's really hard for him to practice the practice which you called stay union with the phenomenon and in accordance with Dharma. So Shifu said, at that time, you should.Practice the third practice, which is non-seeking.
那无所求行呢是怎么样？就是不惧不迎的心态，视而不见，听而不闻。那他刚刚那个印象呢，自自然然就从你的注意力中消失了。
So, the third practice, non-seeking, when you practice that, not running away from that image, but also not accepting that image or paying attention to that image will go away.
你不会主动的要接受它，你也不打算把它赶走，只要把心用在方法上，继续修行。
So the way to deal with it is, when such illusionary state of mind arises, you do not try to push away or running away from it, but at the same time, you do not accept it or giving it more attention. You just focus your mind on your method and keep practicing your method, then the image will go away itself.
可是假如你觉得你的心真的在用方法，可是那个境还是在，怎么办？师父就说，那你就是退到随缘行。
But if you tried that method, you didn't running away, you wasn't running away, you didn't pay attention, but the image still persists, what should you do at that time? And 师父 said, well, ifthat problem continues, persists, then you just go back to the second practice, which is adapting to the conditions.
那乘法行呢，就是叫做无相观，心不攀缘，心中没有牵挂。
And the last practice of the four practices, which we talked about earlier, is the union with all phenomena in accordance with Dharma. It talks about the emptiness nature of all phenomena.
那师父说呢，这个是最直截了当的方法。
And 师父 said that's the most direct way to deal with things.
那法的本体啊，本来就没有一定的形、一定的相，凡执着有相，都是非法。
Because there's no form, really no form for all phenomena. If you attach to the forms,then you're not, your state of mind is not in accordance with Dharma, and you're not in union with all phenomena anymore.
所以师父说，什么是魔？谁被魔扰啊？当你认为魔已经扰了你呢，你已经着了魔相。不但有魔相，也有我相。这个时候就用乘法行做无相观，当下呢就可以离开魔。
So Shifu said, what is a demon? And who is bothered by the demon? So once you claim that you're bothered by a demon, you're already given rise to the state of mind of duality. You have the concept I and the demon, and you're bothered by the demon. So at that time, if you could practice non-duality, you could practice formlessthe nature of things, the emptiness, the nature of things, then you could deal with this.
所以呢，有心但是不攀缘，这个就是无相啊。
So what is non-seeking, non-doing, and formless is you have that state of mind, but at the same time, you understand, acknowledge all phenomena, but you do not attach to.It at all.
师父讲啊，业障重的人，这个法门不容易修。
师父 mentioned, although this method is the most direct way to deal with demons, but if you have a lot of karmic obstructions, it's not easy to do.
那师父举了他自己的例子哈，因为有他弟子跟他讲嘛，师父你太累了，从早到深夜要领众。要跑来跑去，一下演讲，一下皈依，一下开示，一下接访，接待访客哈。
So, 师父 gave us an example. Some of 师父's disciples said to 师父, 师父, you're way too busy. You're really overwhelmed by all those chores. You need to, you know, running around to give talks and then answer questions from disciples. You just have too many things to do.
那师父说是啊，我业障重才会这样，但是呢，他有三宝的恩，又背了众生的债，所以身不由己，心不由己。师父觉得他本来是应该是地狱的众生，好在三宝灵敏他，没有 让他在十八层地狱受地狱那样的苦，也没有把跟师父四周的善知识当作牛头马面。所以师父的虽然身体很苦，可是师父心不苦，因为他有这样的想法。
So, 师父's answer was, I have a lot of karmic obstructions. That's because I have a lot of karmic restrictions and obstructions. And, but, you know, I should have been in hell to repay all my debts. But because of the help from three treasures, so I was able to be born in this world and be able to pay debts to all these sentient beings.So even though I'm very tired from, you know, my body is very tired, but my mind is not bothered by this at all.
所以师父说他讲的业障就是魔障。如果我们在业障之前讨饶啊，就是已经受不了太辛苦了，就表示我们向魔障低了头。所以我们为了降魔啊，就是降伏魔啊，我们就要提起勇气，打起精神，承受各种的苦难跟困扰的折磨，就是要冲出这些重围。这样的话，你就可以见到你自己本来的面目。所以师父讲，魔障是好事。
So, the karmic obstructions 师父 was referring to are demonic obstructions as well. So,in front of demonic obstructions, we shouldn't yell in. We shouldn't say, it's too much. It's too much suffering. I couldn't deal with it anymore. We shouldn't give up. Because we have to endure all this hardship and being able to make breakthroughs.
这个就是师父在整个的修行过程可以看得到师父碰到魔障的时候，业障的时候，他不是屈服，他是面对他，啊，师父的试他，面对他，怎么样？接受他，处理他，放下他，这个其实是跟二入四行很像哈。
So that's why 师父 said karmic obstructions or demonic obstruction actually is a good thing because it kind of tests us in front of this all hardship difficulties whether we give in.Or we try to overcome them. So, how to deal with karmic obstructions or demonic obstructions? We know Shifu has a favorite four lines to deal with it, which is have to face it, accept it, deal with it, and let it go.
那修行的态度这个非常重要哈。我们 修行的态度。跟日常生活的态度应该是完全一致的，不可以打坐念经的时候是一个态度，日常生活又是一个态度。修行是接受一切艰难困苦的磨练跟矫正啊。
So that's why we say, the attitude of practice is very important, and.It should be the same attitude, of how you face your daily life. Those should be the same. So you can't say, I have one type of attitude when I meditate, when I do chanting, but I have another very different attitude when I, go through the daily life. Because practice is really just trying to accept all hardship at the same time, practice andcorrect your habitual tendency.
师父这边做一个例子，我觉得这个例子我们可以常常放在心上哈。一个扭曲的树干啊，用木桩给它绑了以后，用绳子给它拉正了以后，对树干本身来讲是受了拘束跟限制，不是自然的生长，但它是为了让它成为正财或者大财啊，拘束跟限制是一个教育的手段。修行也是这样，修行的本身是不断的矫正的一个过程，它是一个教育的方式。
So Shifu gave us an analogy which I think is very helpful here. So Shifu said practicing is just like you have a tree or a branch of the tree that is not straight, and you try to use ropes to help it go straight. And for the branch itself or for the tree itself, it seems like it's being confined to the area of the ropes. It cannot grow whatever it wishes. But from the point of view that being a the good tree, it's very helpful. And practice is just like that. Practice is keep modifying or keep correcting our habitual tendency. It's a process, and it's a way of education.
如果知道修行是一个教育啊，你就会很多事情你会心甘情愿，要不然你会认为它是一个磨练，是一个很无理的一个折磨。
So if you view practice as a sort of education, then you will do it willingly. Otherwise, you will think it's just a sort of torture that imposed on you.
所以从古以来，诸佛菩萨历代的祖师啊，都从难行能行、难忍能忍中历练出来的。
In fact, from the ancient times to now, all Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, great Bodhisattvas, all patriarchs, Chan masters, they all practice the, do the undoable and endure the unendurable. They all start practicing this.
那四行中的第一行最后，翻到最后。四行中的第一行跟第二行是因果因缘，是给初机有相行。
So the going back to the four practices we talked, all these three talks, the first two practices are deals with cause and effect, cause and conditions, and those are the entry level of dealing with the phenomenal world. And the third practice and the fourth practice are dealing with the ultimate truth, the formless emptiness of all phenomena.
看起来理入跟行入好像是分开的，实在他们两个是相应的。
Even though it sounds like different stages of practice, as if you started with first practice, second practice, and then reach to the third and fourth, actually you have to combine them and practice at the same time.
刚刚学佛的人啊，要从行入刚开始，慢慢的深入进去。
But as a beginner, we should start with something we can hold on to, something that is. There is a form that you can practice, and then eventually you should develop the wisdom of non-form and emptiness of the form.
四行呢，主要是劝人在日常生活中去掉一切的爱憎情欲，按佛教的教育苦下功夫。
So the all four practice emphasize trying to get rid of or reduce your desires, hatred, and all your poisons or defilements in your mind in daily lives.
也可以很粗浅的讲，理入就是经文理论啊，行入是属于实践，禅法呢要结合这两个。
So two entrances and four practices, we understand. The first two entrances are talks about the classic theories, classic tests of Buddhism, the Dharma, and the practice emphasize how you should apply those principles, and we have to combine principles and practice at the same time.
时间的关系，今天没有问题，就没有时间给大家问问题啊。
So that's it for today. Unfortunately, we don't have time for Q&A session.